On this episode of Skeptico, comedian and creator of the Comedy Jesus Show, Troy Conrad.
We can't just rest on a bunch of facts and expect that to be food for the soul. Even though it may not be proven that we have a soul, I still think it's important to feed it.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and on this episode of Skeptico, we are going to return to a topic that I just find fascinating, and that's atheism, and particularly the interplay between atheism and Christianity, the anti-theism of atheism being usually against Christianity, although in recent years they've kind of turned their aim also to Islam, because that seems to be another really easy target. Topic is very interesting to me, maybe because I was raised Christian in a Greek Orthodox church, but like a lot of people, got to college and came to question a lot of the dogma and doctrine that I had been fed as a child. So in my search within the atheist community, I came across today's guest, Troy Conrad, who puts on a very funny show called The Jesus Comedy Show, and you'll hear much more about it. Not surprisingly, the show has become very popular with the new atheist crowd, the Richard Dawkins, Daniel Dennett crowd. But I was very pleased and interested to find that there's a lot more depth to Troy and his view of atheism than the standard spiel you get from the new atheist. So stay with me for a very interesting dialogue with Jesus.
I am going to answer your questions. It's going to be just like prayer, except you get a real answer. I am black. I have to show up white in America or no one will listen, okay? We gave every single planet three challenges. Nuclear technology, religion, and Celine Dion. Hoping no one reviews any of them. No, your president. We don't have a special relationship. His prayers go right into my spam folder. Dear Jesus, was professional wrestling real in biblical times? Okay, here's the weird thing. Yes, it was. Everything starts out good and then corporations come in and fill up.
Hi, I'm joined today by Troy Conrad, the producer and star of The Jesus Show, a satire that depicts the life of Jesus as a stand-up comic who has returned to tell us all another version of the good news. Troy, welcome to Skeptico.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Alex.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you. You know, I just was doing my usual kind of surfing around the web and have been exploring atheism lately and ran across your site and then was able to dabble in, because you have a number of YouTube videos up there, was able to dabble into some of your work. And just first and foremost, I love comedy, and it's just really, really, really funny stuff. It's great stuff. So tell us a little bit about your background, about your bio, which you sent me, which is very interesting, how you came to do the show, a little bit about what atheism has meant to you and how you came to it.
Yeah, well, basically, the Comedy Jesus Show started sort of accidentally, and at the time, I was still a very agnostic person, coming from a background of selling Bibles door to door. This was right when I was in college. I grew up fundamentalist, so I was kind of a shoe-in for this. I embraced Christianity quite a bit, more than my parents did, and I got really into religion. And I used to be very preachy. I used to be very indoctrinated into the rock music is evil meme. Uh-huh. And so that was my passion when I was a youngster. And someone, when I was in college, recruited me. He was from the John Birch Society, actually. And he recruited me to go to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and sell Bibles for Bibles and encyclopedia supplements for Thomas Nelson. They're the world's largest Bible publisher. And I did that 80 hours a week for a summer in Bowling Green, and that was when I was 2021, and not until many years later, here I am. After that experience was sort of the beginning of questioning things, and I became agnostic. When I got into comedy, I was still that way. And then I got hired. When I started performing as Jesus, I got hired to perform at the American Atheist Convention. Uh-huh. And I had all the misconceptions that probably 90% of America have about atheists. I thought atheism meant absolutism. I thought it meant just a reverse form of fundamentalist dogma. I really didn't understand it. And it took me about 6 months after I was performing this show to really understand what atheism was. And I went, oh, well, then of course I'm an atheist. And then now I'm at that point where I don't understand why most people can't just admit that they don't believe in the fairy tales.
And so why don't you dig into that a little bit and tell us what was that process or what you understand American atheism to be, anti-theism. And maybe, I guess one area you might talk about is what theistic figures are you against? I mean, because a lot of people get into this and they say, okay, and they always raise the objection, okay, what about Buddhism? What about, you know, Taoism? You know, are you, as an atheist, close to other representations of that higher consciousness, intelligence, and how do you speak those lines?
Yeah, see, you know what? I don't consider atheism in its pure form anyway, any type of philosophy that has animosity towards spirituality. I think maybe if there are atheists, I know there are atheists who do have that animosity, just throw it all out. Buddhism, Taoism, you know, those seem to me more philosophies than religions and don't have so much of an emphasis on you must obey this deity. And so when it comes down to it, it's this, to answer your question. I'm still agnostic, and so is every atheist I've ever met on some level. And so that keeps me grounded and humble and able to have conversations because nobody really knows, right? Even Richard Dawkins, you know, says he's not 100% full, you know, fully knows. Nobody does. And so taking that agnosticism and then applying it to atheism, you know, we don't know. So why choose something, some magic fairy tale to believe in, unless that's where you're at in life, you know, I understand people are. So I hope that answers the question.
Oh, I think that does. It's very, very refreshing point of view, actually. And I think that on this show, that's what we've tried to explore really in a roundabout way. And that's that you have to, my opinion is that you have to stay fresh with science and the cutting edge of science because it's constantly in the process of revealing what we don't know or what we want to understand about nature, of the nature and reality as best we can. So I think it's a moving target. And for that reason, we all have to be humble, like you say, and we have to be open, and we all have to be doubters. We all have to be skeptics in the truest sense of the word. So,
yeah, and I have to say that doubt, just having a conversation with people who are, there are so many people who are on the fence and they don't understand. And you know, I would have never wanted to even look into atheism if all the people that I met at that first atheist conference had been very, you know, well, how can you be so stupid to believe in God? Like,
right.
None of them were like that. I know there are lots of people like that, but none of them treated me that way. And everyone was very, I thought the humility is an appeal, and everyone embraced science, but without that arrogance that turns people off. You know, obviously, I was leaning more that way already, but there are so many people who, if you tell them, like, no, of course I don't believe in God, but I don't know either. I just, you know, haven't picked one. I think people respond to that. It sort of opens up something for them.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, in the same way that you say there's doubt in the heart of every true free-thinking atheist, I think there's doubt in the heart of every true believer, really. I think that doubt is healthy. Now, you know, before I get into some of the science that I think drives me towards looking at what may lie beyond the kind of dopey religion that we run into all the time and the kind of idiotic conversations we have about Jesus and the things that you bring up in your very funny comedy show, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the show and ask you a couple questions, maybe in that persona that you have. I mean, what does Jesus think about things as they are now? What does he think about pro wrestling and some of the other really funny bits that you have there?
Well, yeah, you know, that the show, for people who aren't familiar with the show, it's a very big portion of it is Jesus on stage answering questions, all improvised. So there's a few shows where I do them where people just yell them out. The other ones, they write them down, pass them up. I don't see them until I don't see the question. I don't play anything. I just pull them out and answer them honestly, and I'm in character. So I'm doing it from the perspective of Jesus returning, and the Jesus that I've created is a Jesus who hates the entire concept that people still believe in all the crap that was going on way back then, that's still carried forward so long. So he's very frustrated that, like, he's like, really? The Bible? There's been so many other books since then. And so he's giving his opinions on all these different subjects. And yeah, someone asked about wrestling, and to be honest, I don't even always remember what my answers are.
Now I'm even more impressed if that's improvisational, because the couple clips I saw were just hilarious. And I also like to direct people to a couple other really funny videos you had. I really liked Astrology Expelled, which is a kind of a takeoff, of course, on Expelled. And there's some really, really funny pieces in that.
Yeah, that was fun. And that, you know, all these videos, this is what's interesting. Okay, I just had a friend, my wife and I, a friend who died. He was a lawyer. He was a very big lawyer. And he was a dude who made a lot of difference in his life. And one of the things they said at the funeral is that he was always a really frustrated person with social issues. And so his whole life, he worked, you know, so much for free to change these social issues. And that's so often how I feel. So when you see something like Suspended, which is basically an exact satirical / parody of the movie, of Ben Stein's ridiculous movie Expelled, and then we just applied astrology to it, that's out of frustration. That's created out of me waking up, like, wanting to, you know, punch through a window, but I don't ever do that. I sit down and I create a short film or video, or, you know, I put together, I cast, I call my friends, I go, hey guys, I call, you know, other really great satirical, improvisational actors, Christopher Guest style it, right? And we do these projects, and you know what, afterwards everyone goes, oh, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I feel a little bit, everyone feels a little better about the madness of the world.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because I guess I think the madness kind of cuts both ways too. You know, I mean, I think Astrology Expelled is really funny. I think Ben Stein's movie goes way in the wrong direction. But I think at the heart of it, there's a truth at the heart of it that we've explored on this show, and that's that the scientific mainstream is very, very slow to move and very, very slow to explore any kind of controversial areas. So, you know, if we take intelligent design
which is just such a hot button issue. If we just take that out of it, I've certainly, in the work that we've done here, found a lot of confirming ideas that confirm the idea that mainstream science becomes very introspective and very closed to the existing paradigm and very closed to new information. And that, I guess, would lead into some of the topics I wanted to talk to you about. And I don't know how far you want to go into this, Troy, but it sounds like, you know, you're really an intelligent guy and you're staying on top of this. And what I want to understand from an atheist perspective, someone who's kind of looked at the evidence, you know, how do you deal with some of the disconfirming scientific evidence that kind of might be pointing to the idea that even if the Jesus idea isn't sellable or the Mormon idea isn't sellable, that underlying that, there may be an ontology of this spirituality that is more correct than Richard Dawkins' one. And by that, I mean, so let's just, you know, all that's a bunch of bullshit until you kind of give an example. So the example I'd throw out is like the near-death experience. You know, how do you take the fact that science is finding out that in some way we don't understand consciousness does seem to survive our bodily death? What do you do with that if you're an atheist?
That's a great question, and I'm really super excited that you asked about this. This is what I love to talk about. I call myself a God's loving atheist a lot of the time, and I'm very into Howard Bloom, who is an atheist, who also has a very amazing spiritual perspective on things. But you know, he's one of the most amazing, I guess you could say, omnivore genius scientists. And you know, I think that there's so much that we don't understand, and I think that awe of it all is what drives passion for living and passion for wanting to explore human spirituality. And I do like that word. I don't have any problem with saying spirituality, and I know that some atheists do, but I don't know if it's necessarily the mainstream of atheists. Maybe it is. I love exploring whatever I can. You know, I was talking with someone the other day about this, that someone said, you know, because I know that astrology is all, you know, is stupid. He goes, you know what? I like to read my horoscope. I know this doesn't mean anything. He goes, but I like to start my day making it mean something. And I think that that's the point. We have to make every human being, it's up to them to make their life mean something and make the things around them mean something. I just think that often going with a really outdated system is dangerous in that. And I'm talking specifically about, you know, the main two that I sort of focus on in the show, which is Christianity and Islam. And I think that they can basically just be used as badges for really horrible, evil behavior, even though they're set up to be good and peaceful and build community. They still all have elements that let people eventually, if things are bad, we don't see this all right now, we're starting to, they eventually can let you kill someone and not feel so bad about it. That's the big problem, right?
Right. I mean, I would definitely agree. And I'd go one step further and explore whether or not the divide really between supposed divide between science and religion and the way that we've kind of divided up the playing field really makes it harder for us to make that next step that you're kind of alluding to and really explore our own spiritual journey, whatever that is, you know, and wherever that may lead by experience, by science, whatever. We're prevented from doing that because we're stuck and stupid with the discussion that we already have because the starting points are really stupid. And it's pushed, not only has it pushed religious folks into kind of accepting a lot of ideas that if they're really examined in the light of day don't make any sense, but I think it's pushed scientific people into the same kind of corner in terms of a materialistic paradigm that denies so many experiences that all of us accept as being, well, probably real. You know, when we have a lady passes and she's been married to this guy for 50 years and the guy says, I woke up that night and I saw her clear as day and she came to me. And, you know, these deathbed visions, you know, they're common in just about every family. It's just one small example. But we live in a world where science is kind of forced into a corner where they have to deny and deny and deny all that stuff and put a big taboo label on it and not explore it because there's this kind of implicit agreement that we have to deny Christianity, Judaism, and Islam so strongly that we can't allow any little crack in the door, otherwise everything will tumble down. And of course, that's not the case.
Thank you for saying that, because that, I think that's amazing. And when we do close everything off and say, I'm not going to let anything in except hardcore, triple-checked fact and reason, and I'm not going to talk to anybody who doesn't espouse hardcore, triple-checked fact and reason. And yes, of course, that's, you know, that's what we're here for that's what scientists are here for is to check everything and have that life. But what a meaningless life that can be, right? When people take it to an extreme. And so if we don't generate and create something, then what does it all mean? And we can't just rest on a bunch of facts and expect that to be food for the soul. Even though it may not be proven that we have a soul, I still think it's important to feed it.
I agree, and to not deny the potential existence of it. You know, it's funny, I was just having this conversation last week with a couple of pretty high-level scientists up in the Bay Area, and one guy kind of meandered into this one topic I thought was really interesting, but he talked about the mystery that we're talking about and how we're uncomfortable with this idea, but it's really a fact when we observe the history of science, and that is that we're moving towards more mystery, not less, you know? So we say, oh, all this great science and technology we have and we've accumulated, what it's really done is it continues to perpetuate more and more mysteries. And not just the mystery of consciousness, which we're all acknowledging is like this huge, huge mystery, but even the mystery of matter, you know? And now we're finding that dark energy and dark matter comprise the vast majority of the universe. So, you know, now we're just saying, hey, everything that we thought we knew, we thought we were observing is probably 4, 5, 6% of the entire universe. You know, it's just, can we ever get comfortable with the idea that as we're progressing, we're really moving into greater mystery, not less?
Yeah, and that's the whole, you know, and that's the beauty of it all. And I think when people really embrace that, and say, yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm still, like, we have no idea. You know, like when you're a kid and you really stare at the stars out there for the first time, when you really are at that age where you can think about things, that feeling is an amazing thing. And I think as we grow up, we can often lose that. And I think a lot of the atheists that I've met still embrace that quite a bit and have that. And I know some religious people who have that awe and that excitement, and I think that just makes things sometimes more confusing for me. But what I do in the Jesus show to address that is, I, you know, Jesus shows up and says, "Everybody, you're all," he says, basically speaking to Earth, and he says, "You're all contestants on a reality TV show, a celestial TV show called Last Planet Standing." And he's basically gelling people together on Earth, saying, hey, you're all on a show together. You've got to figure out a way to make this planet survive another year. And he shows a map of all the planets that lost this, you know, on this round. And, you know, it's a picture from the Hubble. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I wanted that to be part of the show because I think it gives people a little bit of a bigger perspective of things that maybe their ideology, you know, in a way saying, you know, hey, there's more out there, Horatio. I think that's how Shakespeare said it.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. So, Troy, it's been really fun. What else is coming up for you with the Comedy Jesus Show? Where are you going with that? And what new videos are you working on?
Well, the live DVD did get distribution, and so it is out on in all the stores. It's on Amazon and Netflix, and people can actually buy it on comedyjesus.com. And that is going great. And so now that that's there, I'm doing less live touring because I did so many international tours, and I'm kind of done with a lot of the live stuff. And I'm working on the feature film right now, which also got distribution. That should be out in early 2010. And that the next video I'm working on is the hate pastor. Pastor Anderson, he's the guy who is praying for the brain cancer death of our president.
Uh-huh. I hadn't heard of him.
And you've heard of him?
No, I had not, no.
Okay, he's a pastor out of Tempe. He's been getting some press lately. And he also is basically, he uses the word faggot, I guess, 100 times a sermon. Uh-huh. And that's actually part of his out loud sermon, yeah, and part of his prayers. And so I'm doing a video where Jesus is listening to his the morning prayers on an iPod, basically saying that's how Jesus gets prayers. And then he runs into this guy and basically concludes that he's definitely gay. So that's how that happens. So that's the next video they're shooting this week, and people can always watch the videos on just go to YouTube and type in Comedy Jesus.
And you come right up, don't you?
Yeah, it comes up real. It's easy to find. You just go to Google and type in Comedy Jesus, and it all comes up pretty easily. And it's been a really fun journey. And I got to say thank you for getting in touch and doing the interview. I always love to talk. It's fun to talk serious for a while, because there's a lot of madness out there, and I address it through comedy. But this has been a really, really great interview, so I got to say thanks.
Well, thank you. You know, when I first contacted you, I wasn't quite sure, but I just had this intuitive sense that there was this depth there, and you certainly have delivered. I think it's awesome to explore all these topics under the umbrella of atheism, because I think you've taken it in a way that is just incredibly refreshing and really deep. I mean, there's so many ways to go with, there's so many places to go with the kind of openness and worldview that you have. So in that sense, I never considered myself an atheist, but I might have to kind of re-examine that label.
Yeah, it's not quite as scary. Again, it took me 6 months to even 6 months after a very long, rational thinking life, just to sort of understand that. And so, it is also a very strange term. And I'm kind of with Sam Harris on this, that I don't think it's the greatest word in the world to a great label always to have. But I am at a point of understanding now where I don't really have a problem with saying it. It's just that it has a lot of meaning to the other person that it's said to, and I think it almost always requires a follow-up conversation.
Right. Okay, well, thanks again for joining us, Troy. Best of luck with the Comedy Jesus Show.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Thanks again to Troy Conrad for joining me today on Skeptico. If you'd like more information about this show or any of our previous shows, be sure to check out the Skeptico website. That's at Skeptiko. You'll also find there a link to our forums and an email link for me. Well, that's going to do it for today. I have a number of interesting interviews coming up. If you like this topic, I have more to come, some interviews with Dr. Bob Price, very scholarly and well-informed atheist, as well as Dr. Gary Habermas, a very scholarly and well-informed Christian. So much more on this topic, as well as some other, very interesting interviews coming up, including Dr. Michael Persinger, and I think many of you who are interested in near-death experience will find that very interesting. So much more to come on Skeptico. Stay with us, and bye for now.